Because of listeners like you, Preborn has helped to rescue over 67,000 babies. Your $28 to sponsor one ultrasound doubled a baby's chance at life. Your tax-deductible gift saves lives. Please join us in this mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Well, welcome to another edition of Jenna Ellis in the Morning. And as you can probably guess from my voice, I am not Jenna Ellis, but I'm sitting in for her and honored to do so. Let me just, in fact, make a very controversial statement to start out. Jenna Ellis is a woman. I am a man. And I don't need to consult with a biologist in order to make that distinction, just so you know. So I at least passed the fundamental intelligence test that one Supreme Court justice apparently is unable to pass. Ketanji Brown Jackson, of course, asked, what is a woman? I don't know. I don't know what a woman is. I'm not a biologist. How would I know what a woman is? Well, I'm sure that Jenna will not take umbrage at me saying Jenna Ellis is a woman. but this man, E.W. Jackson, is sitting in for her today. I'm glad to do so. Well, we got a lot to talk about today. But first of all, let's follow up on what's going on right now in Central Texas. Sadly, the death rate is up to 110, I believe. And there are about 170 people missing. That's the latest. I got that off of news sources really just a few minutes before starting the program. So those are probably the latest figures. I think yesterday it was 104. Now it's 110. And with 170 missing, that obviously... it's not an encouraging number, 170 missing, because the likelihood is this far into the whole search and rescue or recovery mission, the likelihood of finding those 170 people alive is shrunk and is continuing to shrink. But hope springs eternal. We believe in God and believe in miracles, and so we know those first responders are out there continuing to look, hoping to find people who have somehow miraculously survived this terrible tragedy. So our prayers continue to go up for the folks who are dealing with this. And you know, we have here at AFR have a partnership with 8 Days of Hope, and I'm sure that they are probably doing something. In fact, if I thought of it, I'm going to be doing Abraham Hamilton's program, sitting in for him tomorrow, and if I can, I'm going to try to get them on and have them report to us on what they're doing, because they're an organization that we have supported over the years and are probably on the ground right now doing what they can to try to help save people there and help people who are in tremendous distress there. Again, all of the side conversation about this is somehow President Trump's fault, and the only reason why this is important is because of some kind of superimposed racial element that these crazy leftists have put on this. We just need to ignore that stuff and just write these people off as just, you know, bat crazy. They just really are, and demonic. and just focus on doing what we can to deal with the problem at hand. And also, I trust that there is going to be a full discussion of what, if anything, can be done to avoid these kinds of tragedies in the future. Again, that Guadalupe River overflowing and having flash flooding in that area is not unheard of, but it's one of those situations where, you know, you go and you camp on the banks of that river, and you know that 25 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, there was a flash flood. You don't think, yeah, okay, well, that's going to happen tonight, or it could happen at any moment. I mean, you know, it's a very, very rare thing. And we don't usually factor in very rare things when we make decisions about our safety, our travel, the visitations, that kind of thing. Because, I mean, first of all, we as Christians know God is looking out for us, number one. But number two, we understand that you can't live life that way. You can't live life in fear. Every time I get on an airplane, I fly a lot. I'm acutely aware, of course, when I, as somebody who flies frequently, that planes don't always arrive safely at their destination. But I can't let that stop me from getting on an airplane. You become paralyzed if you do that. And so folks going out there and camping and having a good time, you know, certainly aren't thinking about the fact, you know, 25 years ago, there was a major flood here. But the people in power there, the people who are responsible for the safety and security of folks who are visiting these areas, have got to think about, okay, once we know there's weather coming that could produce one of these floods, how do we let people know in the region so that they can get to safety? Even if it doesn't pan out as we suspect it could, better safe than sorry, right? So, again, apparently there was some discussion a while ago of putting sirens on the banks of the river in emergency situations because if people are sleeping, and this thing happened in 45 minutes, that means you went to bed about 11 o'clock midnight, fell into a deep sleep, and this thing hits at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, you're in trouble. You don't have any time to do anything. So there might be some approach to this that gives people a better warning than what they're likely to get if they're just watching the news or out there in the woods and maybe trying to get a little signal on their cell phone or something like that. But otherwise, don't have any idea of danger pending. Maybe the weather service does, but has no way really of communicating that to the people who are out there. So those sirens, if that's what they decide to do, I mean, that sounds like, here again, I'm not an expert on this. So I'm not, you know, saying this is definitively what has to happen. But just as a matter of common sense, something that in an emergency situation allows people to be alerted could not possibly help. It might not be the complete solution, and it might not avoid all tragedies of this nature, but if it helps, then it's a good thing. So let's just be praying that the Lord will give these officials wisdom and that they will do what needs to be done in order to assure that people who are camping at Camp Mystic or along the Guadalupe River have some ability to know if there's danger pending. Because again, when that thing is cresting above 30 feet in 45 minutes, you know, folks, you don't have a chance to do much of anything in that amount of time unless you are forewarned at the very beginning of that and then have access to a vehicle so that you can make your way out of there very, very quickly. So yeah, this is one of these just terrible situations that it's just heartbreaking. And so we continue to pray for those folks and just believe God that, again, I wouldn't suggest to you that I can imagine what it might be, but I do know that God turns curses into blessings, and I do know that God brings triumph out of tragedy, and I do know that God has a way of snatching good out of apparent tragedy and trial and trouble. And let us pray that he will do that, and that we'll look back and say, yeah, it was a terrible thing that happened, but look at these good things that came out of that. Look at the things that people did that we can all look back on and say, wow, that was, you know, the heroism of people who went in and rescued others, and then the actions that were taken afterwards in the aftermath. Maybe we'll even create something that makes flash flooding, which is, of course, is a danger in a number of different places around the country, makes flash flooding as a potential fatal event, makes that almost obsolete because of warnings that we can give people, or, you know, the ability to let people know that there is real danger pending and you've got to get out of the area. So that's our hope. Okay, we can't bring back the people who have gone home. We hope to be with the Lord, but maybe what we can do is try to save lives in the future. Speaking of that, and that's one of the things that we at Stand try to focus on. You all know there's been 650 murders of children in the inner city since the Defund the Police movement began. I mean, that's one of the most destructive and pernicious ideas that the left has ever advanced, that they've ever come up with, because it has led to the deaths of hundreds of innocent people, because the police have been, in fact, defunded. They've staff has been cut. They've had recruitment crises, way understaffed. And I don't know whether you've noticed it, but I have. I've noticed it as I've moved around the country. I've noticed after that movement began, I noticed that you saw fewer and fewer and fewer police, even patrolling the roads in many places. And as a result, of course, the criminals, they're evil, but they're not stupid. And they realize that this is open season. We can pretty much do whatever we want to do. Look, we can do smash and grabs, and we won't even go to jail for it. We can, with the no bail policies, we can assault people, we can rob people, and we'll be let out immediately, and don't have to report back to court. We're free to just go do whatever we want to do. There are fewer police to come after us. There's fewer police on the streets to deter us. So basically, it's open season. Do whatever you want to do. And a lot of innocent people have died as a result. Did you all see this video of this Philadelphia shootout? I mean, it looked like a movie. It really did. It looked like something staged, where there's literally gunfire going on in a neighborhood as if it's the Wild Wild West, and you're having, you know, two rival ranches shooting it out across the plain. I mean, it was just... it's bizarre. It's almost, it looks fictional, except it wasn't fictional. It's real. And of course, you know, these gun grabbing idiots who somehow attribute this evil to the firearm. Once again, they'll always jump on that. The fact of the matter is, we've got to address that something is very, very wrong in our culture that's producing people with this kind of reckless disregard for human life. I think you all know this. I'm a gun owner. I'm a gun enthusiast, as a matter of fact, and I own a number of firearms. I don't have a single firearm that's ever hurt anybody. I don't have a single firearm that's ever been pointed at a human being. If the gun is the problem, why aren't all these guns going out doing all this bad stuff? Because it's not the gun that does it. It's the person who does it. And whether they use a shovel or they use a hammer or they use a knife or they use a car or they use a truck or they use a chair. People have murder in their hearts. All the gun does is give them an efficient means of carrying out what's in their hearts. But the problem is not the firearm. Because a firearm in the hands of a responsible, law-abiding citizen is a tremendous tool. But if the heart of a person is wicked and twisted and full of hatred and murder and disregard for human life, you could take the gun out of the hand and put a shovel in there. It's going to be the same result. Maybe not as efficiently, but that's what they're going to do. Now, we're committed to doing what needs to be done to end this cycle of madness. And it comes back to Judeo-Christian values and rebuilding families, not grabbing guns from law-abiding citizens. Stand by, folks. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Jenna Ellis. Back in a moment.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe. But did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And I'm sitting in for Jenna today. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson. Great to be with you again. Thank all of you for your support for AFR and the American Family Association family of organizations. And I said that I'm in a period right now with Stan where we're doing something we call Standathon for the next 76 days, or the 76 days between July 4th and September 17th. And I'd appreciate your support. Go to standamerica.us to learn more about that. Our theme is, our scripture is Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen for his own inheritance. And our theme is prayer, purpose, and prosperity. Praying for our country, praying for our organization, what we're trying to do to help save our country. Purpose, meaning helping people to understand what America's purpose is. I really believe that America is a nation that God ordained. It is a providential nation ordained for his own purposes. And part of that purpose is to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out. And part of that purpose is to bring people together around principle rather than around race or some other demographic quality that you use to either divide people and tribalize people, but uniting people around principle that transcends all ancestral and all racial lines. And I really believe that's what God had in mind, because frankly, folks, that's what the kingdom of God is. That's what heaven is. Heaven is not based upon race or ethnicity. Heaven is based upon principle. Of course, the first principle being the Prince of Peace and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is the only way in. That's number one. He is number one. And then, of course, the truth of God's word, submitting to it, adhering to it, and abiding by it. We will all ultimately be governed by the same principle, the same person, and the same principle. The person being the Prince of Peace and the principle being the word of God. And I want America to be as much like heaven as it can be. Don't you? I really do. I want America to be as much like heaven as it can be, a place of peace, a place of prosperity, a place of fulfillment, a place in which you can find purpose. That's what John Winthrop had in mind when he's had that vision of a city on a hill, a shining city on a hill. I'd like to add that shining city, that glowing city on a hill, glowing with the righteousness of God. And I think that's what our founding fathers had in mind when they saw this wonderful nation of liberty for all people based upon the grant of Almighty God, not the beneficence of a king, a president, a potentate, a governor, or any other governmental person or agency, but rather God as the giver of our rights and our liberties. And so during the 76-day period, we are trying to help people understand who we are, understand who what America is and who we are, stand in trying to help save this wonderful country of ours. So I talked about the problem of violence in our country. Yesterday, I focused a little bit on race. So let me try to tackle both of those here for a second and relate them to what's in the news today. Now, our ICE agents are coming under severe attack. I think I may have said yesterday, 700% increase in attacks on ICE agents since President Trump took office, and probably since this whole process of mass deportation began. By the way, I don't mind telling you all that when I left the network as a daily talk show host to run for president, I was the first person to say we had to have mass deportation. President Trump had not said that at that point, but I said we have to have mass deportation. It's going to make a lot of people unhappy. It's going to make a lot of people uncomfortable, but we have to have it. President Trump, probably not picking up, I'm not saying he picked it up from me, folks. I'm just saying he ultimately embraced that idea, and that's what he's doing. And he is catching, and I don't mean this profanely, I mean this spiritually, he is catching hell for it. I mean, all of hell is breaking loose to attack him and to attack ICE agents. ICE agents are now being threatened, and these leftists are running around talking about the ICE agents wearing masks. They're wearing masks because they don't want to be readily identified so that they and their families can be threatened in their private lives. And that's all that is. And this idea of calling them the Gestapo and calling them Nazis and you know, jackbooted thugs, and this stuff has just got to stop. It really does. It's got to stop. Now, one of the things, of course, that they're accusing Trump of, and by extension the ICE agents of, that is this is an act of rampant, open racism. That's what they're saying. Of course, isn't everything these days? And so, Democrat Representative Gomez said that ICE was only looking for brown people. And again, folks, what do you say to people who are that blind? They never address the fact that we are a sovereign nation, that we have laws, and those laws indicate how one may enter our country, just as there are laws in every nation state as to how you may enter that country, what is required in order for you to be able to enter that country. We, as a sovereign nation, have such laws. You are not allowed to come across our border on your own. That's illegal. That makes you a criminal. You have committed a crime when you do so. And when that's done, you have to be apprehended and deported. That is, otherwise the law is meaningless. They never address any of that. I mean, it really is as if, and they don't say this, but this is clearly what they're getting at, there are no borders. We should have no borders. Anybody and everybody who wants to come into our country should be able to do so, and they should be able to do so without being vetted, without being investigated, without any attempt to figure out who they are and why they're coming here. No, none of that. That's inappropriate. And if you do so, then they try to smear you and slander you as a racist. Now, we have, ICE has arrested Russians and others from Eastern Europe. They have arrested Chinese people. They've arrested people of all backgrounds. It just so happens that because people are coming across the southern border, and the indigenous people and many of the people from Central and South America who are trying to get into our country happen to be people of darker complexion, that just happens to be the case. That's not the case for all of the people who are coming in. And in terms of arresting and deporting the people who are coming in, it does not matter what the color of their skin is. It does not matter. If you are here illegally, you've got to go, period. Now, I don't know what more to say to these people. And of course, we know that they don't really necessarily believe that this is an act of racism, but they have a different vision for the nature of this country, and this is an opportunity for them to smear and to delegitimize the United States of America. That's really what this boils down to. This guy, Claude, who works for MSNBC, Claude, I guess his name is, he said ICE agents are acting like slave catchers. Once again, I mean, this is preposterous. Because it almost seems ridiculous to even explain the distinction. Because if you're that stupid that you don't know the distinction, explaining it probably is just a waste of time. But just for the sake of discussion and argument, slave catchers were people who were going after folks who were trying to escape to freedom. ICE agents are trying to arrest people who have illegally broken into our country. That's like saying that the police showing up to arrest somebody who has broken into your house is the equivalent of slave catchers. No, they are coming to apprehend someone who is where they should not be, doing what they should not be doing. There is no moral equivalent there whatsoever. But again, is it really about truth, or is it really just about smearing and delegitimizing the United States of America? Because I'm convinced that that's what it's really about. It's really about the effort to fundamentally transform the United States of America, and anything that lends itself to that outcome, anything they can use, any rhetoric they can use to, that lends itself to that outcome, they will use. These ICE agents are, I went down, by the way, when I was running, I went down to Eagle Pass. I spent time with some of these former ICE agents. We watched illegal aliens coming across the border, some of them very well-dressed, hair just cut. I mean, really looking good. Like, they weren't, these people hadn't been on a 1,000-mile trek. These people were sent here. And Trump, President Trump, has now reduced that to virtually none coming across our border illegally. And I mean, I'm sure there's some escaping through, but it's a very, very small trickle now. And they also know that we're going to hunt them down and kick them out. And that's exactly what we should do. They've got to go. And the fact that they, many of them may have darker skin, is completely and totally and utterly irrelevant to me. And I've got darker skin. I could care less. I mean, to me, that is a non-issue. But for people who want to smear our country, and people who want to smear these ICE agents, and by the way, and put them in danger, because we've now had a couple of attacks on ICE agents, very violent attacks on ICE agents. There may be more, because these leftists and these Democrats are so busy telling the world that these ICE agents are the epitome of evil. Remember, just like the ones who were beating the Haitians like slave masters, remember that? And it turned out they never touched anybody. They were actually using their reins on their horses, and we were told they were whipping the illegal aliens coming across the border. They were just like slave masters. I mean, Lord, have mercy on our beloved country, and let us have an awakening that brings Americans to their senses. All these people who have these very misguided views of our country, that brings them to their senses. Or they have a revelation to say, you know, what am I staying here for? I don't like this country. Let me go somewhere else. See ya. And wouldn't want to be ya. So, you know, just go. Do what Rosie O'Donnell's done. I really like the fact that Rosie O'Donnell has left America. I really do. I hope she never comes back. And I don't hate her, but I mean, go live somewhere where you can be happy. Because, hey, Rosie, I'm happy in America. Not because my country is perfect, because it's not, but because it's the greatest land of liberty and prosperity and opportunity in the world. And I enjoy every moment of being an American citizen. Even, and I am fulfilled, I don't necessarily enjoy it, but I'm fulfilled even by those moments in which I have to say, I am not happy with the way my government is behaving right now. If I have to say that, I say that, but I say that in full appreciation of the fact that I live in a country that guarantees me the liberty to say that and to be protected from being arrested at midnight or being disappeared because the government doesn't like what I'm saying. I mean, and the impulse to do that to people is coming from the left. And you can prove that by all the censorship that we've had to endure through COVID, to climate change, anything else that you want to say. As I said, folks, I don't mind saying it. I mean, maybe I'll be invited back on Fox, but I know exactly what happened with Fox. Somebody came up, and I had a friend tell me the same thing happened to them. Somebody came up and said, you know, that we don't want E.W. Jackson. He's anti-gay. Every talk show host on this network ought to be on Fox or on some major television program, because you won't find any more intelligent people, insightful people, analytical people to comment on the issues of the day, but they don't want to hear our Christian perspective. And that's the influence of the left. A friend of mine who works for a major company said that one of the lower level employees went and complained to a boss because they had heard that he had attended a service. Remember, just like the Gaines couple went and reported that he had attended a service that was presided over by a preacher who they said was anti-gay. They called the guy on the carpet. Is it true that you went? I mean, what in the world? Are you kidding me? This is the United States of America. You get to dictate to somebody what church they can or cannot go to because you don't like the views that a particular preacher espouses. Are they doing their job? Are they treating their fellow employees well? Are they not creating a problem for the company in terms of their behavior? And this was a private thing. Nobody knew, but this person tried to undermine them. So that's the direction in which the left is going. They want to destroy anybody who is not in agreement with their dystopian, godless, Marxist vision for this nation. And my organization is working on one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, because we know that therein lies the future of our country. I preached a sermon on Sunday called America, Enduring or Dying, and I pointed out this writer Glubb's book about how empires die, in effect. And I talked about some of the qualities going on in our country. You and I are the ones who are going to save this country by the grace of Almighty God. Okay, we'll be back. 888-589-8840. I'm going to start taking calls when we come back. 888-589-8840. This is E.W. Jackson in for Jenna Ellis. Back in a moment.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And we're back. I'm Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Jenna Ellis. In keeping with this move away from the values, the principles, the ideals that made America the greatest nation in the history of mankind, and in upholding those principles, I point out to you that the NEA, the national, so-called National Education Association. I've got to come up with a good name for them, because the last thing in the world they're doing is educating anybody. But they've now decided that they're going to break with the Anti-Defamation League. And get this, folks, they're no longer going to teach about the Holocaust. Now, why would they do that? And they're being endorsed by CARE. And you all know CARE was an unindicted co-conspirator in one of the terrorist attacks on the United States of America, and is an organization with very, very questionable ties. But CARE endorsed this effort and said, "We welcome the NEA's vote to stop exposing public school students to biased materials provided by the ADL due to its long history of spreading anti-Palestinian rhetoric." Biased materials. And biased materials? And you're talking about the NEA, which is, it is a cauldron of bias? I'm going to start taking your calls here in a moment. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You can ask me or comment about any topic I've raised, which I've talked primarily about these ICE agents, and then secondarily about our efforts, the efforts of my organization, to try to uphold the values that made America great, particularly the importance of unity across racial and cultural lines as a Judeo-Christian nation, one nation under God. We can see these people have exactly the opposite worldview, don't they? They also said, I think this is the NEA saying, "Allowing the ADL to determine what constitutes anti-Semitism would be like allowing the fossil fuel industry to determine what constitutes climate change." Do you believe they said that? They actually said that. "Allowing the ADL to determine what constitutes anti-Semitism would be like allowing the fossil fuel industry to determine what constitutes climate change." You don't know what to say to that. I mean, you really don't know what to say to that. We're talking about human beings and how they should be treated without prejudice, without bias, without hatred. And they compare that to the fossil fuel industry and their view on climate change. I mean, folks, it's beyond the pale. you don't know what to say to people who make those kinds of associations. But we shouldn't be surprised, should we? Because the NEA is nothing but a left-wing propaganda machine. That's all it is. It has nothing to do with education. It has nothing to do with care for children or students or helping people to live better lives. It is all about advancing their far-left, weird, sexually deviant agenda. That's all they're about. And so it shouldn't surprise us that they've also embraced anti-Semitism as kind of their new thing. The number again is 888-589-8840. The lines are open, 888-589-8840. So there is that for us to kind of chew on as part of this movement that we have in our country today, of a kind of virulent anti-Semitism that has seemed to be embraced particularly by the college elites and by the left in general, this hatred of Israel now, this disregard of their history and what's happened to Israel and how Israel and the Jewish people have been persecuted throughout their history, going all the way in the Bible back to the days in Egypt. So, but none of that matters. You know, they care about victims, but only victims based upon their definition of victim. If they define you as a victim, then you're good. But if they don't, so just like me, I'm supposed to be in the victim class because I'm black. But oh, no, I don't fit. Why? Because I'm conservative. So I am not a victim. I am the enemy. I don't need to be helped. I need to be destroyed. And folks, I am not exaggerating when I say that, because that's exactly the way they think. They don't just hate President Trump. They hate you. They hate me. They hate anybody who will not espouse their rather sick ideology. And, you know, they just, you know, what's the saying? Haters gonna hate? Well, you know, they just have to go ahead and hate, because we're not changing our minds about this, because our views are rooted and grounded in eternal truth, not in the opinions and fads and whims of the day, which unlike them, because, you know, you never know what's going to be next with these folks. I mean, I'm convinced that what's coming down the pike is pedophilia. They're working behind the scenes now to normalize pedophilia and call it a sexual orientation. So these people, I mean, they blow with whatever wind the devil stirs up, you know, whatever trend the devil can get going, they are happy to ride it. But we are rooted and grounded in eternal truth. Our lives are rooted and founded on the rock. And so when the storms and the rain and wind blows, our lives don't fall apart. Our houses do not fall because they're founded on the rock, and that rock is Jesus. Their lives are founded in quicksand. They're going to find out if they don't get off that quicksand quickly and get on the rock, they're going to find out that quicksand is going to drag them straight into hell. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's go to William in Texas. William, welcome.
Howdy, Pastor. We've missed your transparency and accountability on the airwaves here. But
thank you, brother.
Yeah, when it comes to that flooding stuff, as much as I'd like to blame it on society, I grew up in Kentucky, and we know about flooding. And as a camper, you got to know, you know, what the elements are going to be. You know, if you're spending some serious time in that area. Anyway, I pray to God them youngsters didn't know what hit them. Thank you for your voice, Pastor.
Well, thank you, William, very much. And look, William has raised a point I hadn't raised. And that is, you know, look, folks, we live in a fallen world, and nature is not kind all the time. I mean, and he's right. When we go into these areas, we need to assess where we're going. I said it's hard when you know something bad could happen, but it only happens every 50 or 100 years, and you think, you know, that's unlikely, and you certainly don't want to live your life in fear. But the Bible says we're supposed to be circumspect, walk circumspectly in the world. So we do have to be aware of potential danger and make sure that we do whatever we can to try to secure our own safety first, because you just never know. And there's a balance that has to be struck, isn't it, between, you know, trying to be aware of potential danger at the same time not having our lives governed by fear. So, yeah, thank you for making the point, William. That's not to lay blame on any of these folks. It's simply to say, for all of us, as we're out here moving about and doing things that we enjoy, to just be aware of also the potential dangers and do what we can to try to minimize the risk to ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with that. And that's, again, not a condemnation of anybody who has suffered under this thing. But for future reference, I'm not a camper, but for those of you who are, you know, for future reference, if you're camping in a place where you know it's subject to get that kind of flash flooding, even if it hasn't happened in 50 years, it's certainly something you want to keep in the back of your mind, right? So let's go to Ann, also in Texas. Ann, welcome.
Hi. I support what President Trump is doing, closing the border to murderers and criminals and all of that. And I like listening to Jen Ellis because she uses the world view and she talks about what's going on. And I have a friend who came here illegally, which I did not know at the time, and I've known her for 10 years. And it's really hard for me to listen to you sound so callous about some of these people. I mean, I don't think it's a good idea to, you know, use a broad brush and say, oh, they're all these criminals. And I just think that's why I like Jen Ellis, because she's diplomatic and kind. And it's like, I heard President Trump say, oh, you farmers, we'll do something for you. Well, that sounds to me Christian. It's like, okay, these people have been here for 10 years. My friend's been here for 10 years. And it's like, I would like to sponsor her. I would like something like that. And I would like to not hear people paint these people with a broad brush, because she and her sister are two of the kindest Christians I know.
I've got you. But Ann, so before I let you go, since you have now made an accusation against me that I'm being mean, tell me specifically what I've said that makes you see the way I talk as being callous and mean. Tell me, you know, you listened, you've drawn a conclusion. Now tell me specifically, because who knows, if you're right, I want to correct myself, but you got to tell me specifically what you think I've said.
But when I listen, I don't have this recorded, but when I listen to you, and my heart rate goes up, it's like, I can't tell you specifically what you said, but there's a big difference. Oh, you're laughing. Right. See, right. That. And, Jester, that.
And And see, there you go. There you go. So I can see that what's really going on here. But thank you for the call, Ann. I appreciate that. Look, folks, let me say this. You know, we are living in a culture of feelings idolatry. In other words, Ann couldn't tell me anything specific I said. It's her feelings. We can't have policy based on, well, I've got a friend and my friend came here illegally. You know, that's not a way to govern a country. And I understand that perfectly. But here's what I'm saying. We are a sovereign nation. We have laws. If we do not regard our laws, we become a lawless nation. And look, that is not to say we don't have compassion for people. We have asylum laws, for example, but there is a process for that asylum. And we know that that has been abused, that asylum is for people who are suffering political or religious persecution. It's not for people who want to come to our country because they don't like where they're living, because they don't feel there's enough opportunity there, and they're going to crash our borders to come here in order to work. I mean, and I understand the desire to do that, but it's still wrong. You know, the Bible says he that disregards the law, even his prayer is an abomination to God. Did you know that? That's in the book of Proverbs. Is that callous? But thank you for the call, Ann. I understand. And we're in a feelings culture these days. Let's go to Barb in Ohio. Barb, welcome.
Hi. I'm so excited to get to talk to you. And thanks for the way you cover things. I love your commentaries and so forth.
Thank you.
You brought up a really good point this morning in thinking that we need to address the idea of the potential for flooding. And I am a very low-tech person living in a high-tech world. I still carry a flip phone. But my first thought was, why can't we put towers above these places and actually put a person up there to watch those flood spots, and they could relay information to others? I mean, I know we always look for high-tech solutions, but maybe in the meantime, something like that could be considered. And that may also serve as a tribute to all those people who died in this flood, that the people in that area could see we're doing something right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just my thought. I continue in prayer for these people. And, you know, the lieutenant governor of Texas asked for 30 days of prayer. And I encourage Amen. Everyone who's listening to join in that.
Amen. Barb, thank you so much for the call. And thank you for the suggestion, too, because I think that's what's going to be required. A lot of discussion, a lot of ideas put on the table for ways of handling this that make sense in terms of the potential for saving lives. See, part of the problem, as I've said before with this, is when something happens so rarely, it's easy to become complacent. You know, I mean, that was 50 years ago. But at the same time, when it does happen, we see the potential tragic, cataclysmic effects. And so we got to figure out a way to balance the need to be vigilant with the reality of something as a very, very rare event. So I don't know whether it's posting people, putting towers up, putting sirens out. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the answer is. But thank you very, very much for the suggestion. And that's what we all need to be doing. That's what I hope our government will be doing. The local governments particularly will be doing in the aftermath of this. So thank you, Barb. Let's go to Jamie in Kentucky. Jamie, welcome.
Thank you very much. I just want to say real quick, every time you're on the radio, I always listen. And
thank
so
you.
I was pleasantly surprised that you were filling in for Jenna today. She does a great job, but I really enjoy all the facts that you lay out and how the Bible is the only way. I'm having a lot of trouble with a lot of friends trying to help them see the way, and the devil's in the way. The devil's really in the way here, and you helped me talk with them. Let's just put it that way. Thank
well,
you for all your work.
Praise God. Thank you, Jamie. And that's going to do it. Thank you, folks. And Jenna, thanks for the opportunity to sit in for you. And hope you'll be back in this seat here before too long. In fact, I think Jenna will be back tomorrow. But thank you all. Enjoyed every moment of it. Stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Preborn's whole mission is to rescue babies from abortion and lead their families to Christ. Last year, Preborn's network of clinics saw 8,900 mothers come to Christ. Please join us in this life-saving mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.